Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we last week we finished up verse 18, and we talked about it was a part two deal that we went over 2 weeks and talked about prayer and what kind of the perspective that we have during prayer, and with viewing that it's a war that we have. The armor of God, you know, praying with a purpose, praying ready for battle, praying, trusting in God that He will answer, but praying with the right motives as well. We talked about last week, and we're gonna touch a little bit on. I mean, it talks about prayer a little bit in verse 19, but a little bit different perspective on it. If someone wants to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19.
Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, with boldness, the mystery of the gospel.
Okay. So, he talks there about praying for him that the utterance may be given in the opening of the mouth, and he's talking about how he can better pray so that he can better speak boldly. And we'll get into that a little bit more about being boldly speaking boldly next week, but in a prayer, an essential tool in fighting the devil, he's asking here for them to pray for him so that the gospel can move forward. And if we turn over to Colossians chapter four, Paul writing the book of Colossians as well says something similar here. And if we want to start, so I want to read Colossians 4, verse 2 and 3, please.
Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned.
Okay, so devoting ourselves to prayer, and again, the prayer, as we talked about over the last few weeks, is a humble request of God, okay, to God. It's something that it teaches humility, it teaches trust, it helps the relationship. God designed prayer for a purpose, and so here he talks about devoting themselves to prayer, but also praying that God may open the door for the Word. Okay, now the Word. We'll talk about the word for word there in a little bit. But when he notice how he says that God is going to open the door. Okay, so when we're looking at that, God plays a part in prayer, and we're told about that in Romans chapter 8. But God plays a part in what we pray for as well. Okay, and specifically here about opening the door for the Word. If we turn over to John chapter 6 for a second. John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 44. And kind of leading up to this, Jesus talks about how he's the bread of life. And they're grumbling and they're trying to figure out, isn't this Joseph? Or don't we know this guy's father and his mother's here? How does he say I've come down out of heaven? In verse 44 through 46, I want to read that, please.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father,
and turn a few verses down to verse 59 of John chapter 6. So I want to read verse 59 through 66, please.
These things he said in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you would behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Scripture who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him from the Father.
Verse 60.
As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore.
Okay, so the Lord is who draws people to him, not us. And that's a thing that we need to understand. And he uses us as tools in the process. You know, we're instruments of righteousness. But notice what it says there, that it's the Spirit who gives life. Okay, so the Spirit draws closer. The Spirit draws the people to himself. The flesh profits nothing. Okay, that's going to kind of come into play a little bit later in the class today. But remember that a little bit, that the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. If we're doing things by the Spirit, it's successful. If we do things by the flesh, it's not. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Now notice who plays a part in drawing those to himself here. John chapter 16, 7 through 13, please.
But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you.
Okay, so it's the Spirit who it was an advantage for us that Jesus left so the Spirit would come, and he's the one who convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He is the one who's drawing. He is the one who is drawing people to himself. So when Paul is asking them to pray that God may open the door for the Word, the Holy Spirit is who draws people. God is who brings people to Christ. Now we'll get a little bit tidy that up in a little bit here in a second. But turn over to Acts 14. Acts 14. Someone want to read verse 25 through 28, please.
And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, from where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent not a little time with the disciples.
Okay. So notice what they're, and what we're talking about, God opening the door. And in verse 27, they're sharing with the church there. They reported all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Okay, so it's God who is bringing that. It's God who is drawing them to him. No one can come to Jesus except by God drawing them there. But Paul is asking them to pray on his behalf so that could open, so that he could speak out with boldness. And And God also intercedes in prayer. So you see that when you have that, when we look at how God works in this, it is true that we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, He's interceding in prayer, He's also interceding and helping draw those who, and preparing those to hear the message. He's preparing those, or helps the growth of those who hear the word. And without that, it's impossible for any growth to come. Now, we'll get to that again in a minute, and we'll tie up a lot of the things we've been mentioning here. But let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 for a second again. Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to point out one of the words used here. Verse 19. So he says, I pray on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth. Now, the word utterance there is the Greek word logos. And it is used in John chapter 1. Let's turn over there a second. John chapter 1. So I want to read verse 1, please. Okay, so the word there is logos, and the word that is translated word there is talking about Jesus. If you go to verse 14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory from the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word there, that's another name that's given to Jesus. Okay, so he is the word. He is the word of God. Now, the word logos there, now again, it doesn't always have to be talking about the word of God, but that when it went in this specific spot and other spots there, as we're going to see here as well, the word logos is a word that is used to be talking about something that God is specifically saying, okay? So if we think about that here a second, and let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 16 and 17. So I want to read that, please. No, Second Timothy 3:6. Yeah.
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Okay, so the word for inspired means God breathed. Okay, so it's like the words out of God's mouth is what he's saying there. So all scripture is the words out of God's mouth. So the scripture isn't our words, but it's God's words. And so if we look at the word, Paul is saying that I may be given the utterance in the opening of the word. So he's asking for the help of saying the right things. So God, he's asking for them to pray for him to have that door opened. Because God has to work, in order for it to be successful, God has to work in the word that's spoken, but also, he also has to work in that the door is open. Because for a literal example, if the door is shut, you can't hear all the time very, very good what's on the other side. But if the door is open, then you can hear what's on the other side. And so that example there that he is given there is that he has to open that door to the heart of the person for the word to do any good. Okay, so the word on both sides there is the word that it comes from the mouth of the one preaching, but also opening the door of the one who hears as well. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So I want to read verse 4.
And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Okay, so the word for message is the word logos. Okay, so you could say, be translated, and my word and my preaching were not a persuasive words in of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. So the word that Paul is asking there in Ephesians chapter 6, that I may be given the utterance in opening of the door. Or it's the same word that is described as Jesus' name. He is the Word of God. Okay, the God-breathed Scripture. And here Paul is saying our word or our message, okay, the word that we spoke, logos, was not from a persuasive words. That word persuasive can be enticing. Okay, that's what can be translated, enticing or persuasive. Okay, fancy talk that persuades. You see, that's what the words of men are, and that's all it is if we convince someone by the flesh. Okay, now we think of it by the flesh, we think of worldly things, but by the flesh also can be doing things outside of the Spirit. Okay, so if we're doing it by the flesh, we are doing it on our own, and there's cause for boasting. But if we do it through the Spirit, the Spirit is the one who converts, the Spirit is the one who opens the door and gives the utterance so that it can speak. And so he says there, it's not of enticing or persuasive, but the demonstration by the Spirit is what it probably should be translated. Okay, it's a proving. The demonstration is if you demonstrate something, you know, you say something and then you demonstrate that what you said is true. Okay, it's a proof of what you are saying is true, and so the Holy Spirit is the one who is proving that, because it's not out of the wisdom or the crafty speaking of Paul. It's the Holy Spirit working through Paul with his message and working with the person that's hearing the message so that it's fruitful, so that it grows. It's interesting that Paul is writing this here, and then he goes, flip over a chapter to chapter 3. Someone want to read verse 6, please. Okay, so we use this passage, and you know, we talked about this quite a bit here. You know that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. Okay, what we don't always read is we don't always read the context, which kind of gives a little bit more. So we're back up in verse 1-7. If someone wants to read that, please.
Seven
is good.
I planted, Apollos watered, but God causing the growth. Neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth.
Okay, so Paul here, right after he says in chapter 2, he talks about how they're not going persuasive or through certain teachings, but through the power of the Spirit. Then he goes and he talks about, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual men because you're a man of the flesh. Because one person, you know, is saying, I'm of Apollos or I'm of Paul. Okay, so they're boasting in the flesh. They're boasting in who taught them. Well, Paul taught me. Well, Apollos taught me. So they're boasting in the flesh. And that's what he says there in verse 3. For since there are jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? So there it is fleshly to think that the Spirit doesn't do any work in converting. That's completely fleshly minded to think that the Spirit doesn't do any work in the converting. And Paul is saying that, and Jesus said that in John chapter 6, and Paul is saying that in Ephesians chapter 6, and in Colossians chapter 4, and in here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and even when they described in Acts chapter 14 that they rejoiced because of how God had opened the doors for the word of the Gentiles. Okay, so in verse 7, it's neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, but it is God who causes the growth. If we try to convince someone based upon word only, it's going to fail. Now, by saying that, it might seem like, well, there's, you know, I'm not saying like we're calling the Holy Spirit down. My point in saying that is that if we don't trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work with the words that we speak and the people's hearts to receive in the word, then it's not going to work. You know, Jesus talked about how the Pharisee would go over land and sea, and they would make a disciple and make him twice the son of hell as they were. The Pharisees had the scripture too. The Pharisees were using it like the flesh. They were trusting in the flesh. They were trusting in the word. Other thing would be is that when in John chapter 16, when he says that it's your advantage that I go away so that the Holy Spirit comes, what scripture did the New Testament saints have? They had what little access they had of the Old Testament passages was in the synagogue, and I can guarantee you that the Pharisees weren't there teaching about how Jesus resurrected from the dead. And they weren't teaching about how they're overcoming sin. Even amongst the religious leaders, the Sadducees didn't even believe that there was a resurrection of the dead. So even amongst the religious leaders of the Jews, there was a divided house there. And so the point in saying that is that if you, only the scripture only, if that's all, I mean, and granted, I'm not saying that there's nothing anything about the scripture. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit has to have a blessing in that. The Holy Spirit has to work through that. We have to trust and pray that God is going to give us the right utterance and the right words to say so that he works through the words, but also that those who are receiving the word or hearing the word, also he convicts them as well, because no matter what we say, and this isn't always in vain either. There isn't, I shouldn't say in vain, but it's not always wrong, because there are times when we say things, we're preaching, and it's all correct, and the Holy Spirit is helping us there, but the people who are hearing it are so hard-hearted that it doesn't convince them, okay? And that's not a sin on our part. That's something we should do. But we got to understand that unless the Holy Spirit convicts them and opens that door, even if we have the best words that we can say, it's not going to be successful. And by praying for the God to help us with our words, and also praying for God to open the doors to the word, to, as he talks about in Colossians chapter 4, pray that God can open the doors for the word, that it can be spread there. If we don't trust in that part, then our work's going to be in vain as well. We can't go and just rely on the fact that we can maybe convince someone cleverly. Because I know we can convince someone cleverly even with the word of God. Because people do it all the time. I talked this morning about a bunch of people, a bunch of religious people, who have convinced a lot of people cleverly about a lot of different things that are false. So it happens all the time. They have the exact word that we have, but they're not teaching the truth. And people are not being saved. Well, if the word does it, then why do we need the Holy Spirit? Okay, if the word did it, then all of the every congregation around would be true. If it was only merely the word of God. Now, the word of God is important, and we can't have faith without the word of God, but we have to understand that the Holy Spirit has to work through that. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit works through that. If we don't trust that the Holy Spirit works through that, then all it is fleshly. Just like the Corinthians, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Peter. Okay? You could have different toutings between all three of those guys. Oh, Peter was the you know, one of the original apostles. Well, Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. Well, Apollos was a mighty speaker. Okay, so all of those had physical things to tout, but Paul is saying you're mere fleshly men if you tout that, well, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Peter. Because it's God who causes the increase. It's the Holy Spirit who draws people to himself. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And without the Holy Spirit helping there, without praying and understanding that God's going to help us there, it's not going to be successful. I turn back to Colossians 2, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 2, just back again there, on that same verse 4 again there, where he talks about my message or the word was not persuasive, but it was a demonstration by the Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit proving it. In verse 5, he says, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Okay, so if it's something that we are, I guess an example, again, we just use it. The faith of a lot of the religious world is based upon the wisdom of men. And if it's a faith based upon the wisdom of men, then it's not of God, and it's not true faith. Or it's not the faith that can save. Because there is faith, people have the faith in what they have, and their faith in the God of their own appetite, but it's not faith, because it's not based on the Holy Spirit. It's not with the help of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have the blessing of the Holy Spirit, is another way to say it, I guess. The Holy Spirit has to demonstrate it, and if the Holy Spirit is demonstrating the power, and the Holy Spirit is the one who is proving that and helping prove that to someone, it has to be done through the Word of God correctly. And if it's not done through the Word of God correctly, then it's not demonstrated by the Holy Spirit. That's another way that we can kind of test that as well. So the wisdom was from the Spirit, so that the faith was from God, not from men. And so they were preaching not in a persuasive, crafty way, like a lot of people do. They were preaching through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was doing the work. Because neither is the one who planted or the one who watered is anything, but God who causes the growth, the Spirit who brings them to Him. And going back to what Jesus says, that nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him to himself. Unless the Father brings him. So the Holy Spirit is convincing them there. And that's why when he had something a little tough for them to understand, they were like, this is a difficult statement for us to understand. And he says, if it's so difficult for this statement that my flesh and my blood is going to give eternal life, then what are you going to think about how are you going to be able to handle the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? You know, kind of going back on to Kyle's point a little earlier, is that people can celebrate the fleshly stuff, but it's really hard for them to celebrate the glorified Christ. And that's kind of what Jesus was saying there, is that you can't even handle the fleshly stuff. You can't even handle this stuff that's easier to understand. How are you going to think that I can ascend to heaven? That's going to blow your mind. And that's why they fell away. That's why they didn't continue with him. Because it was too difficult to understand. And they weren't allowing God. I mean, the Holy Spirit works with people, but the Holy Spirit knows who is going to be obedient and who is not. And so God there has to draw them to him if they were going to stay. Now, that can be taken too far as well. And we need to make sure we don't take that too far as well, that God just makes everything happen. We still have to play a part in that. That's why Paul is talking about them praying for him to be able to preach. Okay, we still have to play our part in that. That's why Paul planted and Apollos watered. But we have to understand that without the help of the Holy Spirit on both sides, then it's in vain. It's not going to work. It's not going to be successful. Now turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Someone want to read verse 17, please.
So faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of
Christ. Okay, so the word is important. The word that we cannot have faith through men or the persuasive teaching that man has, but only through the word of God. Okay, so the utterance that Paul is asking for is the word that God has, the word that God helps him with to be able to preach. And so really, and we'll touch on this probably next week as well. But when we're talking about, when we're preaching the word, and so the same thing would be true with Paul, it wasn't Paul that was saying it, it was Paul repeating the word of God. So it's God that's saying it. So people say, well, you're really saying that if I don't get immersed for the forgiveness of my sins and receive the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to go to hell. I'm not saying that. The Scripture's saying that. See, so and that's why Paul is asking about for the utterance from God, not on the trickery of his own crafty speaking. So that the wisdom and the faith is based upon God, not man. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. So let's start in verse 8. So I want to read through verse 11. Okay, so one thing, kind of going back on to what we were talking about, a fleshly mindset in a way versus a spiritual mindset. And verse 8, like God is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And he gives the example, as just as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and your thoughts. If we're going to try and succeed through our thoughts or the wisdom of men or the craftiness of men, or the craftiness of speaking based upon how we can convince someone by ourselves, then that's going to fail. Then there's reason for boasting in the flesh, and that's going to fail. But if it's through the Spirit and how God sets it up, and with the help of the Spirit, it's going to succeed. And then he ends that, this is the rain and snow, they come down and they don't return without watering the earth. In verse 11, my words will go forth from my mouth and they will not return to me empty. You know, they're going to accomplish what he desires without succeeding in the matter which I sent it. It's not going to return without succeeding in the matter which he sent it. Okay, the Spirit is how that works. Okay, it's not convinced. If you only needed the written word, we wouldn't even need to preach. People would be able to read it by themselves, and it wouldn't even matter. Now, I'm not saying that we can't understand things, but who helps us understand things if we read it by ourselves? It's the Holy Spirit who helps us understand things if we read it by ourselves. Okay? So if it was just merely the word, everybody would understand it. Everybody would read it. Who read it would understand it. But knowledge does not necessarily equal righteousness. Okay, and Kyle brought that out a little this morning too, is that there's a lot of guys with knowledge of stuff. Supposedly that one guy was a Greek, not, what do you know about the Greek, but he was touted that way. But he didn't look into the Greek very much, obviously. Just because there's supposed knowledge does not mean it's righteousness. Knowledge does not necessarily equal righteousness. Now, granted, we should want knowledge, but there's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge, but they're not righteous. There's a lot of religious people with a lot of knowledge that aren't Christians. So just if it's something that goes against how the Spirit sets it up and how God sets it up, then it's not going to be successful. If we have the word or not, the Pharisee would go land and sea to get a disciple, but they just still made him twice as son of hell as they were. It didn't work. Unless it doesn't work fleshly, unless it only works with the Holy Spirit's help. Anybody have any comments on that?
Well, I think just talking about knowledge and righteousness and stuff, and I think too that just having a lot of knowledge doesn't bring understanding either. Mm-hmm. I think we all probably know people that have a really good knowledge of Scripture, but lack understanding of what it means. And then there's also the other side where there's people that maybe don't have a great knowledge, or they struggle more with Scripture and knowing references and memorizing and those kind of things. But they have great knowledge of what Scripture is saying. Mm-hmm. So I think that really shows that just because you read the Word doesn't mean that you know what it is. And I think that's important to understand that that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and that's where that mm-hmm. understanding is going to come from.
Right.
And I just think that's interesting that there's people that can know a lot about the Bible or about Scripture that have a lot, that really don't understand much. Mm-hmm. And right. they're not effective. It just causes all kinds of problems. So the knowledge without the understanding is really a big stumbling block, I think.
Right, and that's where, when obviously there's a reason that Paul is asking for that, for them to pray for that, because he understands that unless God opens the door, it doesn't matter where he goes or what he says, it's not going to work. And so he's asking for them to pray for that so that happens. And even going back to those who were touting in the flesh in Corinth there, who they were from or who taught them or whatever. And he's saying, you're still fleshly. Because it wasn't Paul that converted you or Apollos that converted you. It was God who converted you. So their mindset was still on the flesh there. Any other comments?
Yeah. Some of it you would have to look through and be like, I don't know what that's talking about, but if you have the Holy Spirit helping you navigate through that, and you have a spiritual mindset on it, it makes sense.
And I should turn to 1 Corinthians 2 again, because there's actually a lot of stuff in between there that we didn't even cover. But it talks about in verse 6 about how they speak of wisdom among the mature or the perfect, that the rulers of the age can't understand. If they did, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory in verse 8. But in verse 10, it says, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but a spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in the words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. I mean, keep reading, but the idea there that Paul is saying there is, again, it's kind of what we've been saying, is it's taught by the Spirit. What we're saying is taught by the Spirit. It's not taught by the cleverness of men. You know, it wasn't... And going back even to the synagogue example, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders there, wasn't producing anything. It was producing a bunch of tradition, legalism, that people just did because that's what they were supposed to do. Even tradition didn't make sense. Excuse me. And so those things taught by the Spirit is what Paul and what we also speak in what he talks about there, so that, again, the faith is based upon the wisdom of God, or the power of God, not the wisdom of men. And you can go back even to the Ethiopian eunuch when he's in the chariot and he's reading the prophet Isaiah in Acts chapter 8, and Philip asks him if he understands what he's reading. And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "How can I understand unless someone teaches me?" Okay, so he was reading stuff, reading the scripture, but he had access to it somehow, but he didn't understand who he was reading about. He didn't understand what it was until Philip taught him. And so the word that he was reading and the Spirit convicting the eunuch was working with the word that Philip was speaking to convince him of the truth. And so again, that's the Spirit working through all that as well. Anything else?
Really, like, I think that's what Paul's praying for. Ephesians 6, mm-hmm. You know, he's praying for that he can effectively work together, you know, with people and get them to have understanding.
Right, yeah.
You know, because he's not asking, you know, I don't think he's necessarily asking, you know, put words in my mouth, kind of a prayer. I think he's, you know, he's asking to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel. He's wanting to be effective,
right?
And to do that, you know, it has to come right. not from his own thoughts, basically, but right. through the Holy Spirit or from right. God.
And it comes through, you know, his thought that's trained by the Word, you right. know, by the Spirit. And so he's relaying the message that God has taught him. You know, what he's learned.
Right. He's
got to play the role.
It's not some kind of, you know, out of body experience where he opens his mouth
right.
and somebody else says the words.
Right.
That's not what he's asking for. And I don't think people think that too much, but
right.
you know, it's just, you know, it makes sense to me what he's asking for, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And you said something there to kind of click the thought, but no, you're good. No. You were saying that he wasn't just asking, yeah, okay, that's what it was. He still had to play his part in it.
Right.
It wasn't just something that whether he is speaking or whatever it is, or the person who's hearing, we still have to play a part in that. We still have to God uses us in doing that. We're the mouthpiece, you know, so it's not what we are saying, but what God is saying. And so if we're convincing people about what we are saying, then it's just building a faith based upon what we say, not a faith based on what God says.
Right.
Anybody else? Okay, well, we'll stop there this week then.